Wandering About, Chapter 43. 40 long, long years slowly passed. During this time, the Israelites wander about in the dry, hot wilderness. We do not know what happened during all those years. The rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram is the only thing which is written in the word of the Lord, and we know of nothing else. Still, during all this time, many things did happen. One of them is that the Israelites must wait. Wait? What for? They must wait for death. When the 12 spies returned from their expedition, Joshua and Caleb told the people that God would help them enter Canaan. All the men and women that did not believe, who were 20 years or older, were to die in the wilderness. This happened at Kadesh Barnea. Joshua and Caleb, the only two men who spoke well of God, were not to die. All the thousands and hundreds of thousands of men and women knew that they must die during this time. All this happened, for everything that the Lord says takes place. During the 40 years, the Lord provided manna, the bread from heaven, for this numerous multitude. Even though the Lord was punishing them, He was still mindful of them by not letting them perish from starvation. If they had remained at a certain place for some time, and they would again journey to another place, then during the time of each stay, many thousands of people would die, and in every place large cemeteries were left behind. So many people lie buried in the wilderness. One day all of them must arise. That will take place on the day of judgment when the Lord Jesus will appear on the clouds of heaven. Those Israelites who were converted and feared God could not enter into the earthly Canaan, but when death came for them, they went into the heavenly Canaan. For them, this punishment wasn't too bad, but for the poor, poor, unconverted Israelites who waited daily for death, it was terrible. If you are still unconverted, children, then you are most wretched. One day, death will also come to you. That is sure, but when, we do not know. Finally, these years of punishment have nearly passed. Upon the command of the Lord, they again approach the borders of Canaan and come for the second time to Kadesh Barnea. Almost all the older people who had murmured there are dead. The children of that time have now become old and have children of their own. When they came to Kadesh Barnea the second time, Miriam, the sister of Moses, died and was buried there. She was very old, wasn't she? She was about 120 years. It wasn't too bad for Miriam. It is true, she died in the wilderness and never entered the land of Canaan. But when she did die, her soul went into heaven. Other things happened in Kadesh Barnea. Moses and Aaron sinned there, and for punishment they also were not permitted to enter the land of Canaan. That narrative I am going to pass by, but I will tell you about it in a later chapter. Will you remind me of it? Thus the Israelites are again standing ready to enter the promised land. They again see the mountains behind which that land lay. 40 years before, the Lord had commanded them to climb those mountains and go defeat the nations living on the other side. The people of Israel at that time refused because of unbelief. Now the Lord does not command them to climb the mountain. He will lead them a different way into Canaan, but then they must march through the land of the Edomites. The Edomites? The Edomites. We have heard about them before, haven't we? Who were they? Do you still know? Of course. We are smart enough for that. They were the descendants of Esau, the brother of Jacob. Thus, they were a nation related to them. The Israelites were not permitted to conquer the Edomites. They were not permitted to fight against them. And the shortest route to Canaan lay through their land. Do you know what Moses says? We will ask them in a friendly way to do us a favor. A few messengers are sent to the king of Edom. They go to the capital, look for the royal palace, and enter therein. They make a deep, courteous bow before the king. May we march through your country, they ask. You know how we have been oppressed in Egypt, but the Lord delivered us, and now we are preparing to enter Canaan, the land which the Lord promised us. We will not harm you nor your people, and we are not even allowed to do that. Only permit us to walk through your land. May we? Will you allow us to do that? The king will surely approve of that plan, won't he? Oh, look at what he does. He shakes his head. No, his answer rings angrily. You may not. I'll never give it a thought. Go away quickly. I will have nothing to do with you. Such a disappointment. The messengers return to Moses. And? Moses asks. We may not. Our request is refused, they answer sadly. Ah, come, that cannot be, says Moses. Perhaps the king did not understand you properly. He may be afraid that we will ruin everything. And do you know what Moses does? He again sends a few Israelites to him. There they come to the king of Edom for the second time. King, probably you think that we will trample the wheat flat, that we will pick the fruit from the trees, that we will steal everything. But you need not be afraid of that. We will not do that. We will walk quietly over the highway, and if we have need of anything, we will buy it. We will even give you money for water. And what is the answer to this friendly request? The king again shakes his head, and in anger snarls at them, I already told you the first time that you could not, and it remains so. Be sure you do not attempt to do it anyway, for otherwise, go and leave me. With bowed heads, they return and bring this message to Moses. What must they do now? Do it anyway, and not concern themselves about the king's answer? No, they are not permitted to do that, for then it would be necessary to fight, and the Lord had forbidden that. The king of Edom comes quickly with his entire army to meet the Israelites. Isn't he an unkind person? There is nothing else to do but to march in a large arc around the land of the Edomites. They must return to the wilderness. This makes a roundabout way, and they must travel many extra days, yes, probably weeks. This is a great disappointment, but it is the only way. On the way, They come to a mountain, Mount Hor. The Lord commands Moses that he, Aaron, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, must climb this mountain, because Aaron is to die there. The three climb this mountain, while all the people gaze after them. A little later, only two of them return. They are Moses and Eleazar. Aaron died and was buried on top of this mount. However, his beautiful clothing, the clothing of the high priest, is now worn by Eleazar. Aaron had to take off this clothing before he died and give it to Eleazar, who is now the new high priest. He has taken the place of his father Aaron. The people mourned over the death of Aaron for 1 month. They did not journey during this month, but remained at Mount Hor. Afterward, the command rings out, "Forward," and they again march further. Ouch! With a painful expression, an Israelite grabs his foot. He walks a few steps, falls down, and remains down. He swings his hands wildly, kicks his feet, and then he dies. Over there, another falls down, and then another. Before long, hundreds are lying on the ground. Some of them are dead. Others are still alive, but it won't be long before they will be dead too. How is that? What is happening? Oh, look! Suddenly, hundreds and thousands of serpents crawl over the sandy wilderness. The Bible calls them fiery serpents. All at once, there is a great multitude of these serpents. Many people are bitten, and they who are bitten die from it, because these serpents are poisonous. These serpents were sent by the Lord. But why were they? Alas, it is again the same story. The Israelites became dissatisfied because they could not march through the land of the Edomites and had to travel around. This made their journey last so much longer. They became angry and began to grumble. "Why did you lead us out of Egypt?" they say to Moses. "There is no water here. We will all die. Besides, we detest this manna. We do not like it anymore. We long for other food." This was very ungrateful of the Israelites. The Lord took such good care of them every day, and they had more than enough to eat. And what was their reply? What thanks did they render? Grumbling, complaining. However, the Lord punishes them immediately by sending fiery serpents among them, and many die. Now the Israelites regret their wickedness. They go to Moses. "We have done wrong," they say. "We have sinned. Pray for us. Ask the Lord if he will take away the serpents from us." Moses does that immediately. "Lord," he prays, "wilt thou take these serpents away?" And does the Lord answer Moses? Yes, he does. But the serpents are not taken away immediately. No, Moses must make a brass serpent. When it is finished, he nails it on a long pole and sets this pole upright into the ground. After that, he commands everyone who had been bitten to look at this brass imitation of a serpent. Whoever looked at the brass serpent would not die. There lies one who is dying. The deadly pallor is already upon his face. This dying Israelite still hears what is said. He turns his head upwards. He looks, and at the same moment, he is cured. He does not die, but he arises and goes to his tent. This man believed what the Lord had said. Over there lies another Israelite who had been bitten. He also hears the words of Moses, but perhaps he thinks, "That won't help. I will not do it. I will not look." This man does not believe the words of the Lord. He is such a foolish man, for now he will die. Only those who looked at the brass serpent were cured, and all those who would not look died without mercy. Don't you think that was terribly unwise of those Israelites? You would have listened and also looked, wouldn't you? Yes, but don't you know that you also are bitten? In my thoughts, I see that you are astonished and ask, "We? Bitten? Are we bitten by a fiery serpent?" You shake your head and say, "There are no serpents here." No, that is true. Still, you are bitten, not by a serpent, but by sin. And that is far more dangerous. Oh, boys and girls, we all are slaves of sin. Every day we sin anew, from early morning until late at night. We all must die because of sin. But there is also a remedy which can save us. Not a brass serpent, but the Lord Jesus. The brass serpent was nailed to the pole. However, the Lord Jesus was nailed to the cross. O children, the Lord Jesus has died in the place of great sinners. He has borne the punishment for his people. You can still be saved from sin and the eternal punishment of sin. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever ask for this deliverance? Not every person will be saved. Oh no, most people will not. Why not? Because they do not believe what God says in His Word. Because they reject His Word. But, you may ask, can we convert ourselves? Can we believe of ourselves? No, children. We all lie dead in sins and transgressions. We do not love the Lord. No, we hate the Lord and are enemies of Him. However, the Lord has come to make enemies blessed. Ask the Lord often if He will take away the enmity found in your heart, if He will give you true saving faith. We cannot deliver ourselves from sin. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. Bend your knees often. Not once in a while. No, but constantly. Do it every evening and every morning, again and again. You will never regret it. If the Lord Jesus does not save us from sin, we never will be saved. But we will be eternally lost. The children of Israel buried their many dead and traveled further. They finally had marched around the land of the Edomites and once again approached the land of Canaan. This time, they come from another direction. A new and younger generation stands ready to enter the land of Canaan. All the Israelites who had murmured at Kadesh Barnea were dead. They traveled past the land of the Moabites, for they were not permitted to harm this people. The Moabites and the Ammonites were descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. Because these two nations were related to the Israelites, they marched past them. Still, they are not directly before the land of Canaan. Another country lies in the way. The Amorites live in this country. Their mighty king's name is Sihon. Moses sends messengers to Sihon, asking him if they may march through his land. Sihon refuses. They may not. Must they go back again? No. This time they must fight, because the Amorites are not a brother nation of Israel. The Lord helps the Israelites, and the strong army of Sihon is totally defeated. The Israelites receive their land as an extra portion. A little to the north, another king lives. He was one of the giants who lived in the land of Canaan, Og by name. Og hears what has happened to Sihon. He gathers his army and goes to meet the Israelites. Og, the king of Bashan, is also defeated and his country conquered. Try to remember these two kings, children, Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. They were two kings who lived on this side of Jordan, actually still outside the land of Canaan. At last, now, there is nothing which can keep the Israelites from entering the promised land of Canaan. But as yet, they cannot do so. Something else happens which we will tell you about in our next chapter.